Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. We're continuing on our theme of our God is a God of order, but also as it relates to what does order look like in the workplace, particularly the marketplace. And so the text for today, for this week and next week, is Matthew 5:16. Matthew 5:16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let's do that again. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. Thank you for just the beautiful time of worship, God, where we can convey our heart, God, our prayers, our thoughts, Lord, to you. We could worship you, Lord, just simply because you're worthy of it, God. Lord, you're worthy of it all, Lord. And so we come humbly, God, to this part of the service, God, your word. And we ask you now to speak to us through it, God. To that end, we ask you right now to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room, in all the rooms. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself. I ask that you use me, use Jeffrey, use Jimmy to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. Help us, Lord, not just convey your words, but convey your heart, God. We thank you. We love you in this house, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. As I've been sharing over the last few weeks, when the Bible talks about good works in this way, a lot of times we tend to think about this passage as good deeds. And it does mean that. But as I've been sharing over the last few weeks, but the primary definition of that word works or work in Greek is the word ergon, which actually means business. It means employment. It means that which someone is occupied in. And so there's a bigger meaning from this. And so we could actually read this and say, let your light shine before men. They may see your good work. They may see you what you do Monday through Friday. Unfortunately, sometimes on Saturday and Sunday as well, right here in Hong Kong. And so we could read in that passage, and the way we do our work, the way we go about doing what we do on a regular basis can really, really glorify God. Even the most mundane tasks that we can think about. I hope that you were so blessed last week by Pastor Chris and his message. So it was so powerful. And I know that there's so many testimonies in this house about people that are really intentional about taking Christ into their workplaces. And so I wish we could, you know, share them all, but, you know, time permits us from doing that. But please do share with each other and encourage one another in the weeks to come. In the rest of this series, I realized that I could keep preaching, and that would be fine. I think that would be more than enough, to be honest. But I also recognize that I'm a full-time vocational pastor. Even though I started my professional career as an accountant, those days are long gone, okay? And so don't ask me to do your taxes or anything like that. I can't do any of that stuff. But, you know, I recognize that I'm limited in some ways. And as I was praying through this whole series, I really wanted to highlight and bring about people like Pastor Chris and others that are actually doing the stuff. And I think that's really important for us to see, you know, regular church members that have this conviction and call in their life to go. And it doesn't have to be so grand, you know, like Pastor Chris, right? I mean, there's only one Korean Jesus in our church, right? And stuff. So, you know, sometimes it's very, very difficult to do that. But, you know, what regular, normal people, what we can accomplish when we go about doing this. And so today, Jeffrey Yao and Jimmy Choi will be sharing the pulpit. And so if you think about a meal, I'm the appetizer, okay? Jeffrey's the main course, and Jimmy's the dessert. And so that's kind of how we kind of laid it out. It's going to be very sweet, right, Jimmy? Okay, so it's going to be really good for us. But before we get there, I just want to couch it. I just want to say a little something, and then we'll get into the testimonies and the sharing of their lives. And that's what I want you to see there. It's their life, not just their work or something they do. And I'll preface all this, and I've probably shared many times before. There was a conversation that I had, and I remember probably this is maybe my second year when I was in Hong Kong. And for whatever reason, I got invited to this very important meeting that was happening in Hong Kong. And this foundation had invited this speaker named Os Guinness. And some of you guys may be familiar with Os. And some of his writings and some of his books have really made a huge impact in my life. And so Os was speaking, and they were talking about the church in China. They were talking about Hong Kong and things. And if you guys know Os, he was actually born in China. His parents were missionaries there. And so in the midst of all this, they were talking about all sorts of things. And then there was this break period. And then everyone kind of just started breaking out in Cantonese, because mostly they all were like Hong Kong Chinese. And then it was just, you know, Os, a non-Cantonese speaker, and me. And we were just lost. And so we kind of huddled in a corner, and we're just kind of, hey, how you doing? Hey, my name's Sam. You know, go through all that stuff. It was like 30 minutes because, you know, everyone else was kind of in their own huddle group, but, you know, again, speaking a different language. And I remember whenever I've ever had the opportunities to spend time with leaders, I always try to ask them a lot of questions. I mean, a lot of questions. And so I bombarded us with all of my different questions. To be honest, you know, the one question I usually ask, and so if you're around leaders, I may encourage you to also do this as well. It may sound a little risky and things, but I always ask, why does God use you? I mean, just in simple, like, why would God use you? Like, I'm not saying, like, what's so special about you, because I know you are very special. That's why God uses you. And I just always kind of wait to hear the response. This is kind of a side note, but I remember I was sitting with Colin Dye, and Colin's a good friend of R.T. Kendall's. And so Colin came through Hong Kong, and R.T. said, oh, you got to meet, you know, Pastor Sam. And so, we had up in my office, and we shared about an hour and a half together. And so I asked him that question. He probably gave me the best answer I've ever heard in my life. You know, and so I just want to relay this to you. I just looked at Colin, and we're sitting down in my sofa in my office. I said, Colin, why would God use you? God is using you greatly. Why does God use you? And he kind of sat there and he says, you know what? I've never been asked this question before. And then without blinking, he says, because I have nothing, I know nothing, I am nothing, I can do nothing. And I was like, oh, yeah. I see why God uses you, right? You're the perfect state of mind, you know, so that God could receive all the glory. So I love spending time. And so, you know, I had all these questions. And then finally, I get to Os, and we're having this conversation. I said, Os, I'm a local church pastor, you know, a small church here in Hong Kong. What do you think is the greatest threat to the church today? Pretty lofty question, right? I asked him, what do you think is the greatest threat to the church today? And Os, without blinking, he just said the greatest threat to the church today is the compartmentalization of our faith. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he said that the reality is most Christians in the world that are alive today, they divorce what happens on Sunday to every other single day of their life. In other words, they have their work life, they have their leisure life, they have their family life, they have their financial life, and all these things, and they're not connected to the spiritual life. In other words, we've compartmentalized our faith. And so if you think of this, just think of like a wardrobe, okay? And so, you know, there's many drawers in our wardrobe, and just think of two drawers. One drawer is our real life. And then the second drawer is our spiritual life. And the reality is that sadly, many people who call themselves Christians live functionally compartmentalized lives. Whether they realize it or not, they've divided their life into two drawers, the real life and the spiritual life. The real life drawer is the one they dig into frequently. They're most comfortable in this space. It contains all the stuff of everyday life, their job, their health, their leisure, their money, their possessions, friends, family, basically the daily routine of life. The second drawer is the spiritual life. And this has all the God stuff in it. You know, this is like going to church, going to house church, your tithes and offerings, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But there are two totally different things that happen there. Now, obviously, these people that compartmentalize their lives, they believe Jesus, but unfortunately, these beliefs don't have a radical impact on what they think about themselves or what they think about life in general. In other words, their faith is just a part of their life, but not something that shapes everything in their life. And brothers and sisters, this is a big problem. It neutralizes our effectiveness in the world around us. See, Christianity, the way that Jesus, the way the Holy Spirit set up Christianity, in other words, our faith, is it can't be just one slice of our life. When you try to do that, you will fail on multiple fronts. Because Christianity, by nature, cannot be a part of your life. That's why we have so many frustrated Christians in the world around us today. Because we try to fit God into this little space of our spiritual life. See, Christianity, the way that the Father, Son, and the Spirit designed our faith is it has to be everything. Amen? It has to be everything. When it's not everything, it just doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. And so what Oz was saying, and I just felt such a resonance in my spirit as well when he said that, and he says, that's true. Because it's such a subtle deception. It's so subtle that it takes us into sleep. It takes us into a nap, you know, if we use that illustration in that way. But our faith was designed that it has to be everything. He is the Alpha, the beginning, and the Omega, the end. It has to be everything. And when it's not there, when Jesus is not the center, when he's not the beginning, when he's not the end, right, that's when we have such difficulty. But when he is the center, when he is the beginning, when he is the end, when he's the all in all, that's when Christianity works in our life. Romans 11, 36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Notice even when Pastor Chris shared last week, love the Lord your God with what? All. Not some. Don't give a slice of compartmentalize. So even in the Shema, in the Deuteronomy passage, it's so inlaid, and I'm going to talk more about that next week, that it's love the Lord with all. It can't be a slice, it can't be a sliver, it can't be a part. It has to be all. And that's what we're talking about. And so so what these brothers that are going to come up and share in a moment, what they're really sharing is really this transition from this compartmentalization to where Christ is all in all. And so, the appetizer is done now, right? So I've done. This is the shortest one-page sermon in my life, right? Unbelievable. No, don't clap. Come on. You're going to hurt my feelings if you do that. Even though I know you all want to, it's all right. But they're going to be sharing, and I'm really excited. And next week, another brother is going to be sharing. We're just going to have some fun. And so you guys know public speaking is not easy. It's very difficult. And so I want you to be receptive. I want you to smile. I want you to laugh, you know, even if it's not funny, right? Just laugh and all these things. It's going to be okay. So let's welcome up Jeffrey Yao, please.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jeffrey. I brought my computer along because my printer doesn't work this morning, and so I have to do it the slightly more high-tech way. So, I'm really honored to be here to share with you about my faith journey and also my startup journey. I'm, I guess, one of those that Pisam just now said, who have nothing, who knows nothing, who's really nothing. So I get to do the sharing. So just a bit of my background. I would say I've been a Christian since my university days, but my faith was really basic, and I didn't grow much. And after graduation, I started my career as a corporate finance lawyer, doing IPOs and M&As. And then I went in-house, and I was on the business side, and then I joined an investment bank, UBS, doing IPOs. And so I've been a white-collar professional pretty much my entire working life. And in 2013, a distant cousin of mine passed away because of cancer, and that woke me up and really shook me spiritually. And I decided to take church a bit more seriously and figure out more about life. And also at that time, the stock market had been volatile, and so my deals has been really difficult. It's really hard to price the deals and find the investors for the IPOs that I did. And so I started praying for the IPOs and for also the chairman to price it at a lower price so that we can get it done, because my year-end bonus depended on it. So that's kind of me at that time, and shows you where I was spiritually. And then came to a crossroad in early 2015 when I had to leave UBS due to corporate restructuring. So I left. And at that time, I felt like I had been swimming in the sea all those times when I was a professional with my own strength and worldly wisdom. I was just going around doing my own things. And I ended up in the middle of the sea, and I did not know what to do or how to get back to the shore. That's how I felt. And so, by the way, if you have never felt like that, it's a great place to be, because God will really get your attention, full attention, and you will be ready to listen. And that's exactly what I did, and I started to grow spiritually. I spent 2015 searching for direction for work, but really more for meaning and purpose. I had a choice to go on with my professional life, but I had also come up with a business idea, which is what I'm doing right now. But it's not easy to decide, and I was trying to figure out which way to go. So for the whole of 2015, I ended up taking a year off. I attended EMPs most of the days that year. I also was doing a lot of research for my business idea. I joined Homey Outreach that year. As my wife would say, since you're not working, make yourself useful and do something. So that's what I did. I joined Homey Outreach. And I also managed to finish the EG course, which is Experiencing God, that year. Now, I wanted to start the business as I thought there is good potential in that area. But the problem was that it would mean a huge change to my life, a complete 180-degree change. And I wasn't sure about the move at all. But two things happened during that year. At the Homey Outreach Retreat, someone prayed for me, and I was talking to him about the platform that I was thinking of. And then so he prayed for me, and he said he had a vision of a sphere that was hard to describe, but seems to be linking a lot of things. Then he paused for a short moment and said he saw a hand underneath this sphere, and it was the hand of Jesus. And so that's the vision that he got. And so then, you know, I left. And later on, during the EG course, towards the end of the EG course, the Experiencing God course, I had an EG moment where I felt that the verse, Isaiah 41:10, was for me, which says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And so as a result of these two incidents, I felt like I should give the business a try. I think for a good Christian, they would have jumped on it and started straight away. But for me, I was like, that's still very scary. And so I just sat on it for a few months, and I didn't do anything until a few months later. But I started it at the end. So the business I started is called Move Up, and it's a job platform for frontline and operational positions. We cover industries like retail, F&B, restaurants, logistics, property management, cleaning, etc. So really blue-collar kind of work. And we called it Move Up because we wanted to enable blue collars to be able to find better jobs and move up in life, and hopefully also move up to heaven as well. So that's why we called it Move Up. At that time, I persuaded my high school friend, a good friend of mine, with a similar background as me, to do this together, because I was really quite scared. Kind of like Moses, who needed Aaron. So we incorporated the company in mid-2016, and we launched the product in mid-2017, which I call version 1.0. So here we are in mid-2017, two middle-aged guys who suddenly got a fancy title, co-founders. It's like, so tech. And but we have never started anything, really. No tech background, no HR background, and we did not even have a solid plan on how we could earn money. It's really the, you know, we have nothing, we know nothing, and we are really nothing. And so that's really crazy. I thought, now looking back, I thought it was crazy. At that time, my wife thought it was crazy, my dad thought it was crazy, except me. At that time. And so after starting Move Up, the disorder in my life and my character flaws are starting to show in my work life. You see, forming a partnership and starting a new business together with someone is kind of like marriage. We bring along all our shortcomings and junk into the relationship, and we try to make it work. And so you can imagine a broken person like me with my co-founder. So we had lots of discussions and lots of arguments, and we call it discussions. And I later realized that too often I just, the flaw is that I just looked at me, myself, and I, even though I thought I was a caring person, but really I was quite selfish. And I could not understand how I could be wrong when I thought I had thought about things from different angles. And in a discussion, even if I looked like I was conceding, I realized I was actually being stubborn and passive-aggressive. I was proud, but I did not think so. I thought I was humble, and I just thought I was, you know, right. And that was not really pleasant, and as a result, actually, my co-founder left around 2018. And I also had problems with leading. At that time, you know, I have a staff, and the reason was because I wanted to be in control and do things my way. After all, I was the founder, and this was my vision and my company, and I also had the mindset that I knew better because I thought I had done all the research, so I knew everything. I found it hard to trust others with their decisions and could not really draw the line between where my expertise ends and where their expertise starts, and which is when I should start listening to them. It was just painful for the team. And while I thought I listened, I really did not, and passively insisted on my own way. And naturally, you know, that's not a good leader, and they did not feel valued and included in the team. And one of them actually said, if you're so good, then why don't you just do it yourself instead of hiring me? So I was like, ouch, that hurts. And then I saw recurring patterns in how people were responding to me as a leader, from the colleagues, and my wife was also responding to me in the similar way. And I was like, then I must be the problem. And so I realized that people are just reflecting and reacting, really, to what I started. I'm the leader, I do some things, also they react. And they're like mirrors, and then they reflect back, you know, whatever the problem that I have is. And so God finally showed me that I had to be doing more self-reflection, honestly, to be more humble, real humility, and actually respect people and give my colleagues space to make choices and to grow. And the analogy is really like how God had given me space as a person to make all my choices, and yet he's still guiding me. He let me make my choices freely, but he guided me along the way. And so this is really the beginning of God using others to teach me about my flaws and my weaknesses, and about understanding my own thoughts, my fears in my heart, learning how to communicate with others, and ultimately to be a better leader and bring order into this chaotic situation. Now, people problem was not the only problem. Coming to early 2019 now, which was 18 months after launch, we still had not started earning revenue while burning cash, serious cash, every month that came from personal savings. I became really frustrated with things, and my wife asked me, "Are you sure that you heard God correctly about doing this?" I started to doubt. I was like, "I guess." Now, of course, that kind of response with no conviction really frustrated her and put a lot of stress on our, you know, marriage and a lot of doubt for me as well. So I was praying to God that maybe I should stop. And gradually it turned into, "God, I really want us to stop. I don't want to do this anymore." And so I laid out a Gideon's fleece. I told God that if I set out three things, and if these three things did not happen, I'm going to quit and stop. So here are the three things. First, I wanted my wife to get a Bible verse for me. Luckily, a few days later, she was praying one morning, and she got a verse for me. It's Job chapter 4, verse 3 to 6. And I'll read you the Message version. "You yourself have done this plenty of times, spoken words that clarify, encouraged those who were about to quit. Your words have put stumbling people on their feet, put fresh hope in people about to collapse. But now you are the one in trouble. You are hurting. You've been hit hard, and you are reeling from the blow. But shouldn't your devout life give you confidence now? Shouldn't your exemplary life give you hope?" And when I read that, I was like, ouch. I felt like God was rebuking me for wanting to quit. I was laughing and yet happy at the same time, and yet sad and but happy at the same time, because there's a verse. That's the first thing. Second, please, that condition that I laid out was, I wanted a potential investor to say a specific sentence to me, which is, "I believe in you and the business." To my shock and horror and amazement, that person WhatsApped me. It was, you know, in the context of a conversation and some other messages. And in one of the messages, that exact line came up and was part of it. So that's the second condition. And third was, just more relating to my company, because we had a previous Chinese name and we wanted to go for a trademark registration. But I was told by the agent that because it's too generic, it probably wouldn't go through. So I said, okay, let that be the third condition. And guess what? It got registered. And so all three things got fulfilled, and I was both encouraged and humbled at the same time. And more importantly, I could tell my wife with conviction that I heard God correctly. And so with that, external funding finally came around mid-2019. So time flew by, it's mid-2019. And so we get to start on our product version, which is 2.0, in order to generate revenue. Now, building version 2.0 took time, and the real execution was by the team, and pretty much out of my control. I'm not a programmer, I know nothing, I'm not techy. So I didn't really know what to do to make things faster, because I was desperate for revenue. And all I could do was to pray. And frankly, it was the morning quiet time, the Bible reading and praying that sustained me throughout this period. Now in the Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, King Jehoshaphat was surrounded by a great army, and he was greatly distressed and prayed to God. And the prayer was, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." I found myself in that position praying that prayer on a daily basis. Every day I pray that. I do not know what to do. My eyes are on you. And around end of 2019, we finally launched version 2.0. And then we built a revenue module on top and started earning revenue in mid-2020. And so here's the thing. Our platform actually allowed employers to post jobs for free. And so how do you get money out of something that is for free? Very difficult. So our tech team suggested that we should allow employers to continue to post jobs for free, but if they want to increase the job's exposure to appear earlier in the listing, they could pay us, and our algorithm will be able to boost the ads automatically. And that's exactly what we built. And just like Google Ads, you know, you see the page, all the free stuff, and at the top, and sometimes in the bottom, those are the ads. It's exactly like that. And so credits go to my tech team, because I would not have been able to think of such a revenue model in a million years. And so we launched a revenue model, a module a year ago. Monthly revenue, praise God, has actually been growing on a monthly basis. So each month we see growth, and it's grown around 18 times so far in the past 1 year. And so I'm really happy, and maybe I'll just show you a few slides about sort of move out and some of the figures, actually. Yeah, so that's what, we are trying to redesign work. We think about work all the time for the frontline and operational workers. So the on the left-hand side, the job portal is the product 2.0 that I'm telling you about that allows us to earn revenue. And FlexiWorks is actually a new thing that we're trying to figure out. It's a one-stop recruitment and management service for part-time and temporary workers, because we felt that is the trend. We felt that's actually why I started the startup, because of this conviction belief. And so this is the portal. This is the web page as a screenshot. You will see the job categories on the left, and then you scroll down and see all the job posts. And if you, for example, you click retail shops, and we go to the next slide, and it will show you the jobs. On the top, the two ads up there, it says promoter in the corner. Those are the ads that that we can get paid for if people click on it, actually. So that's the portal. And the next slide is showing you the employers that are using us. So a lot of big chain stores are already using us. And there are, of course, many SMEs and small companies using us as well. And in terms of the numbers, so the job portal, the apps download, we've already passed 500,000 download in total in the last few years. Average monthly active user is more than 120,000 active users searching for jobs. And we have, right now, we have about 15,000, 16,000 jobs listed on the platform. And lots of employers have registered. So the next page, which is the last slide, just shows you the trend. The left one is for the last 2 years, you will see that the growth has really exploded. Especially in the last 1 year, I guess that's due to COVID, and so a lot of people came to us. And during summer, more people will come to us as well because of the summer holidays. And so summer, really, last month, each month we have about 160,000 people coming to our website or apps to look for jobs. And on the right-hand side, you will see is the revenue. So it's growing nicely, starting from really August is the first month, full month, and that we've been growing almost 18 times. So yeah, that's a little bit, give you a bit more color about what we do and who we are and where I am, where we are right now in terms of a company. I'm really grateful that God has made this possible. It's only through God, really. And my biggest takeaway from, in conclusion, my biggest takeaways from doing this this thing is that, one, starting something from zero to one is really, really difficult. Anything, whether it is a business, whether it is a church, whether it is whatever project that you're doing, I think that's very difficult. That's one. Two, I think it is really hard to be a good leader. Super hard. And in this process, I was really humbled and find myself coming to the feet of Jesus every day and asking God for wisdom. And Proverbs 9, chapter 9, verse 10 said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So I realized that if I hold on to God, I fear God, I fear the Lord, I have that, then I think I can get wisdom and understanding, which is fantastic. And that will bring order to, firstly, myself. And through that, I realized that my household will be in order, so it expands to my household. And then actually, I realized that it would gradually expand to my work and my business, and they will come gradually in order as well. And so it touches not just my work, it touches my family, it touches me in person. And so God has become a really integral part of my entire life, and not that he's just there for Sunday or whenever I have a problem. It's through everything. And he's the common denominator that links different parts of my life together. And what is really fantastic and what I'm really happy is that I get to share with everyone about pretty much Jesus, because I meet with a lot of people and then they will ask me, so why did you start Move Up? I got to share. I got to talk to them. Potential investors, you know, even other HRs, I get to say a little bit, even, you know, other people that I interview, right? The staff that we are trying to recruit, they will say, so why did you start? So I get to share. And I'm really grateful for that opportunity, because I really felt like that's kind of connecting a lot of people who otherwise may not have, you know, may not have the opportunity to hear, and so I'm grateful for that opportunity. So now my journey continues, and I really do not know the end result of the business. And maybe one day I will need your encouragement, and I hope that I get to hear your stories and your faith journey then. So that's my sharing. Thank you so much.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jeffrey, so much. You know, I hope you heard in the weaving of that story, you can see, remember the narrative I went through a couple of weeks ago? Creation, fall, redemption, right? His story was woven into that, right? Creation, the fall, and redemption. And what I really appreciated about Jeffrey and really his whole story, when did you get married, Jeffrey? 2007. So you got married in 2007. So I actually did their wedding ceremony. I didn't even know them. I did it for a favor for one of our church members who was friends with Xiaoming. And then I didn't see you for like 8 years after that. So they got married and they disappeared, you know. Usually, they usually stick around church, you guys moved to Shanghai. So, you know, you had a decent excuse. And then just to see the transformation, and I think, you know, through our local outreach ministries, through the Homey outreach, and, you know, God just really started giving Jeffrey real love, you know, for the poor and the marginalized in this city. And then when he was, you know, made redundant, now it's like, okay, God, what do you want me to do? You know, how can I take all these things that I've been learning and going through? And then he took the incredibly courageous step to actually make a career out of it. And so many different things that are happening. And so thank you so much for being real and sharing your story with us. And so that was a good main course. And so we're getting ready for dessert now. And so Jimmy's been part of SP for ages, right? He's one of the first married couples that came to SP with Boyoung. And so, and Jimmy's been really advancing in his career, but also changing as well, and really trying to bring Christ into his workplace. So I just asked him to share a little bit.
Hi, good morning, SP. Thank you for allowing me to share at the pulpit. It's been a while, so thank you, PSAM. So why am I sharing today? I actually don't know. PSAM asked me to, that's one. Secondly, you know, I feel that, you know, I can really encourage people with my kind of testimony, my story. So for those who don't know me, my name is Jimmy. I've been in Hong Kong now 21 years. It's been a while. And I've been at SP about 18, since 6 months in when SP started. And for me, the journey has been long. You know, just to give you sense and context, I think it's important. For me, when I first came to Hong Kong 21 years ago, I came as a young kid, and I came here to make money. Like, my mindset was, look, you know, I was in debt. You know, parents, business went bad, similar to Sam's story. And I was sharing with my brother Chris yesterday. In my last final year of university, I tried to open a cafe. We mortgaged our parents' house of hundreds of thousands of dollars, which is not a good idea, by the way. Secondly, we had no idea what we were doing, and we were picking nice chairs and interior, but we forgot about the product. And so fast forward, I got this amazing job, which, you know, in my heart, I know it was God blessing me to come to Hong Kong. And so with that mindset, I said, look, you know, I wasn't Christian back then. I need to get out of the hole, i.e. I need to make, you know, support my family, get out of this cafe mortgage, I don't know what I was doing, debt. And so that was the kind of the context how I came out. And then what happened? There was some inconvenience happened. And what's that? I got married and I became Christian. And so that inconvenience kind of led me to this whole path. And why I'm sharing my story is, yes, I became Christian, and then over time with SP and my brothers and sisters here, I really found Christ. But there was one thing I was really anti against, and that was workplace ministry. And, I don't know why. You know, I was that guy. You know, when they say, hey, you know, I remember my brother Jungmin, a great man. He's in Tokyo. He'd always be like, hey, Jimmy, we're starting workplace ministry. Let's come pray at your workplace. I'm like, no, bro. And he's like, why don't we do Bible study together at the workplace? I'm like, well, why do you have to do it at the workplace? We got church. We got house church. Let's just do it here. He's like, no, it's really important. I'm like, no, it's okay. You do you. I do me. That's cool. So I always thought in my mind, look, I'm a good guy. You know, and not that, you know, I've heard the sermons before from PSAM. Don't compartmentalize your life. You know, so I took that approach. Look, I'm a Christian. I say I'm a Christian at work, but why do I have to mix it up, right? What, you know, I'm doing well at work. God's blessing me. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go, right? And then I can be, you know, and I've been doing house church for 12 years. So that was always kind of how I thought about it. And I was really, yeah, for some reason, really, I was thinking back the other day, just reflecting, I was really anti. But God was blessing me at work. And, you know, I've 21 years in finance. I've survived .com, SARS, financial crisis, you know, every crisis in the banking history, and I'm still here. And I reflect and I go, wow, that, you know, God has really given me a platform, and I'm here for a reason. And a few years ago, I started to really feel that in my heart. I was just reflecting, and I heard God say to me, not in an audible voice, but He's just saying, hey, Jimmy, what are you doing for the kingdom at the workplace? And then I was like, oh. And I've never really had that. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, what am I doing at the workplace? So as any good Christian does, I really thought about it. And I said, look, who's the holiest person I know who I could ask this question? So I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, there's what would Jesus do? I was like, what would Chris do? It's a true story. Sorry, PSAM. You came to mind, but I went straight to Chris. So I said to myself, okay, you know, and I didn't know Chris that well, though. I know him, so I WhatsApped him and said, Chris, can we meet? I need to ask. I need to do something about this. God's saying something about workplace. I hate it. You know, in my mind, I was like, years ago, I didn't really want to do this, but I think I got to do something about it. So I met Chris. And you heard his sermon yesterday. I mean, my goodness. I mean, and we met, and he was telling me his testimony. So I was like, whoa. I mean, it was almost like so amazing that it kind of demoralized me a little. Because he was like, you know, and one day I just went in a partner and I just prayed for her and she had tears. I'm like, bro, I'm not going to be able to do that at all. You have an amazing gift. So, yeah, he shared with me, and it was encouraging, but at the same time, you know, and this is really a reflection of everyone, you know, your own journey. It made me reflect that I am my own self, and God has given me a certain type of gift, which is different to Chris's gift, and I need to reflect how is it that I then, you know, then kind of create the path. So that was the important thing. So, you know, the way I think about it is, if Chris is the gold standard up there, you know, which I think he is, in my mind, well, my objective, I was going to be the YouTube channel on for beginners. You know, Christianity in the workplace for beginners. And if you like it, you can smash the like button, right? Something, that was my thinking. So fast forward, you know, as I was praying and mulling on this, my journey, I was at a leadership conference at my bank, and I met another senior person, and we were just chatting, and he came out that he was Christian. And then we were chit-chatting, and for some reason, you know, I don't know why I said, hey, what are you doing for the kingdom at the workplace? And like verbatim. And then he just stopped and goes, oh. And then 2 days later, he came back to me and goes, Jimmy, you're right. We should do something together. And I was like, no. I was like, why did I say that? But it was clearly God was prompting me. He's like, you know, that was something I wouldn't say to another, you know, professional in the workplace. And so what happened was we prayed about it. We thought about it. What is it that God wants us to do? You know, I spoke to Chris a couple more times. And so at our workplace, what we decided to start, we called it workplace testimony. So what is it that we're doing at work? And it's a real practical thing. It's basically we define what we want to do. What we are is we're not a Bible study. We're not a house church. We don't hold hands. You know, everyone has their home churches. What we really come together is we come together as people in Christ to really encourage each other, to pray, to basically try to push each other to witness in the workplace. Because we're saying, you know, our heart was, look, we're Christians, but there's a lot of Christians like myself, yourselves, maybe, who don't know how to marry the two of being in the workplace and then being Christian. Practical things, like realistic things that you think to yourself, hey, I go to church on Sunday, I go to house church, I'm a good Christian, then you go to work and everyone's telling you to do things, and how do you actually witness? Like, how do you open a conversation? What do you do? So what we do is we meet, we do 30 minutes every Monday. We share 2-3 minutes of what each individual, either a message that's encouraging, either we try to pray for each other, or more importantly, we basically tell testimonies on how we witnessed that week. So if you have a Monday afternoon call, it's like a work call. You know, there's a starting prayer and you're like, bang, 2 minutes. What did you do? You're really going to do something that week. So even on the Friday, I'm like, okay, my Monday call is coming up. I walk around and go, hey, Jesus loves you all. you got to throw something out there. But what it really does, and it's been a real encouragement, and you find that there are so many Christians in the workplace. We've uncovered so many people and they go, wow, I didn't know how I could say I'm a Christian in the workplace without offending people and encouraging people, but also being natural about it. And so that's what we're trying to do. So, you know, we've had some great testimonies, you know, like brothers just are encouraged. You know, we have one story, I hope they're not watching. You know, someone opened the door for him and he just shouts out, Jesus loves you. And then, but the person's like, fantastic, you know. But it's really encouraging people. We've done prayer walks on the trading floor for some reason. And when someone had a brilliant idea saying, oh, it's just like the walls of Jericho. Let's go around 7 times. So you see 4 people walking around a train for 7 times. People are looking at us like, what are you guys doing? We're like, bless you. I don't know. So yes, we can be a bit weird, but all to say that it is very encouraging. And it's given me definitely another objective and a view on, you know, what work means. And it always obviously has meant a way of provision, a way of fulfilling certain things, but it's really redefined how I lead, what type of person I am. And these principles, you know, we learn about it. You know, I've always lived with Matthew 6:33, seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, but I didn't really understand it. So I'm trying to put it all into the workplace, and it's really changed how I lead in the workplace. What does that mean? It means that also that I now take more time to get to know people, to really speak, understand their life. Because the only way you can minister, I mean, it's a pretty basic concept, but you got to get to know people, then you'd be able to look them in the eye and say, hey, are you struggling today? Can I pray for you? And we've had great testimonies of that in our workplace. And so it's encouraging me to go out and meet people in the workplace that I would never have, you know, forced myself to do that, and try to then understand their life, and then they go, hey, you know, then you pray about it and God will open a door. So we're very practical. We even do lunches together where 2 of us go with a non-Christian and he goes, hey, Jimmy, what'd you do this weekend? I said, I went to church. Oh, Why do you go to church? And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes the non-Christian colleagues look at us like, can you stop? Or sometimes they're like, oh, you go to church, how's that? You're like, oh, you're always welcome. Do you have children? So it's being able to practically witness and encourage others who are Christian and be bold to do that. And that's what we're really discovering. If you provide a platform to give people that opportunity and other Christians, and that's really encouraging that network. And the other important thing, actually, one of my colleague mentioned that I found, I think one of the most amazing things is why we started this is, if you think about it, there are so many people in everyone's workplace, mine, yours, that has never been prayed for with their name lifted up in the name of Jesus. If you really think through that, and that's why we were praying one day, and he mentioned that, I'm like, wow, that's deep, man. That's spiritual. I nearly cried, right? Like, that was like, if you think about this, Bible projects trying to get people groups out, but there are people in your workplace, you know, so our job is to lift up those people by name. It's not just the practical things, but it's we do the prayer. We've all picked two or three people and say, hey, who's put in your heart? Let's pray for them. And I'm like, wow, you're right. This person may have never had their name lifted up in the name of Jesus, or this person, or this person. And here we are, you know, going to work every day, saying we're Christian. Let's just, you know, let's just push ourselves, be open-minded. And that's really, you know, the journey that I've been on. And then that's really, again, led to me to just be a better person, a better leader, a better, you know, the way everything that I do in the workplace, the values-wise, it's just really flowed. It's just become more natural. And I tell you, there's just blessing. Obviously, you know, work's work. There's ups and downs, but I just feel so more blessed, and God's really provided. I just feel so, I know why I'm at work now. And I understand, you know, and it's maybe taken me this long in the career journey, you know, at this level to get it. And as an analyst, associate, VP, I just denied it. But now I understand that God's given me a platform to really, you know, to do this and bring people together to try and, you know, create that ministry in the workplace. And again, we're not going to be holding hands. We're not doing any of that. But we're doing it our own way, I think, that God has given the heart for us to do. So I just want to, you know, really encourage you all, and hopefully that gives you some encouragement to be bold, to go out there, and understand that, you know, you can put the two together, and you can be your true self and just be who God has given you to be and to really impact people. So thank you for listening today.
Amen. Thank you, Jimmy. That was awesome, right? You know, Jimmy, when he first came to us, like I say, he wasn't a believer, but he made a promise to his wife. They just got married and said, okay, when I move to Hong Kong, if I move to Hong Kong, we're going to church every week. And he did that. And I think if I recall, it was the first church he didn't fall asleep in or something like that, right? And so that's because I yelled so much. And so praise God. But I hope you heard the heart of the stories and the testimonies. It's just God changing us, right? It's just us coming into closer revelation. I mean, obviously closer to the Lord. And then as we draw closer, God just begins to reveal more of himself and what he really wants us to do. And I hope that you heard, especially the last thing that Jimmy said, I know why I go to work now. And when you have that, when you realize the deep, deep purpose of God, it changes you. It changes you. It changes the way you work. It changes your workplace. And so, kind of inspired by Jimmy, let's just close our eyes for a moment. We're going to go into a time of communion. But let's close our eyes for a moment. And can we lift up one or two people in your workplace right now? Can we just lift them up by name before the Lord? Can we invoke Jesus' name and his presence over just a few people? And let's pray, and I said, Lord, would you just use me or bring an opportunity that I can share the love of Jesus with this person? And as the worship team makes their way and leads us in a response to the Lord as we move into a time of communion, Let's just pray. Let's just lift up one or two people, or maybe three or four. Maybe someone's already on your heart. And say, Lord, I lift them up to you. Work in their life. Bless their life. Let's do that for a moment. Supper, and so I'm going to read from the scriptures, and hopefully you have the elements. If you don't, lift your hand in the air here in the sanctuary or in the overflow room, and our ushers there will be handing it to you. And if you're at home, please prepare the elements. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner should be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself. He does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number asleep." And so, as we come before the table, the Lord asks us to do this regularly, that this would be a function of the body of Christ coming together to share this table. But when we come, we're meant to come with an attitude of humility, an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of a tremendous amount of thanks and grace. And he asks us simply, he says, examine ourselves before the Lord. And so this is what we want to do. We want to just take a moment, and if you have done it already, just take the wafer out of the container. Hold one in one hand and hold the juice in the other hand. And in light of Christ, in light of Christ's sacrifice for us, in light of the cross, let's examine ourselves before him, and then we'll pray and we'll take together, okay? So let's pray. Let's go before the Lord right now. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice. Lord, thank you for your loss. Lord, we gain everything because of your loss, Lord. And we're here as a body to come and say thank you. We're so grateful to you, God. And Lord, we don't just want to say thank you with our words, Lord. We want to say thank you with our lives. So thank you for your body broken for us, Lord, and your blood that was poured out for us. Such a great sacrifice, God, that we didn't deserve, but you freely gave it to us. Even while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. So thank you for the gift of grace and salvation. We thank you, Lord. We love you, God. Let's take together. This is Christ's body broken for you. And And this is a blood and new covenant poured out for you. Let's stand to our feet and let's not compartmentalize our lives. Even in the words of this song, let's give God our everything. Huh? Let's have an anthem of praise.
Father, that's our deep
deep prayer, God, today, every day, Lord. You are everything. Forgive us, God, when we just make you something, a little something. Lord, you are everything. But we don't want you just to be a part of our life, God. You are our life. You are life when I'm awake, when I'm asleep, when I'm at work, when I'm at home, when I'm in the market. God, you are everything. And so would you help us, God? Lord, bring us into the depth of that conviction, Lord. Oh, we thank you. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the lives, not only Jeffrey and Jimmy, but so many in this room, God, have also walked in the revelation, Lord, or that you are the God of the marketplace. And so we look forward to hearing more and more stories, God, of the work, the deep work of God. And so we thank you, Lord God. We love you, Lord. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 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 What you